Lord, where we've become desensitized from the wonder of the cross, where we have looked at it just as a symbol or have walked past it with no regard. By your Spirit, would you afresh this morning remind us of the wonder and the power and the forgiveness and the healing that is achieved for us, that is won for us on the cross of Jesus Christ. We ask this in his name. Amen. I couldn't stand here this morning hoping to do justice to the single defining moment in history, the moment which history was torn in two, the moment from which a trajectory away from God has been replaced by a trajectory towards God for us and for all created things. But this morning, my hope is just to draw attention to a few things in the passage that we heard earlier, a few things that we can carry with us maybe over the next few days as we prepare to celebrate the resurrection of our Savior. The first thing is this. It's the question of position. Here we have a single cross, but on the day of crucifixion, there were indeed three crosses. Jesus gave up his life in the very same way that he lived it, around those who were in need. It tells us very, very little in John's account, and that's perhaps because John is so clear that he wants all of the focus, all of the attention to be on Jesus, that he gives little mention to the two people who were on either side of Jesus on that day. But Luke's gospel account says this, reading from chapter 23. One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserved for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." Even in this point of agony, in this point of pain, in the company of sinners, Jesus finds the means to pour out grace, to pour out assurance, to pour out hope, to pour out the offer of forgiveness and salvation to those who call upon him. "Today, you will be with me in paradise." The second thing that I'd love to draw our attention to, which occurs throughout the passage that we heard, is the fulfillment of prophecy. We see in verse 24, if you've got the passage open in front of you, we see in verse 24 and again in verse 28 and again in verse 36 that the gospel writer goes out of his way to say that these things happened so that scripture would be fulfilled. What we remember today, what we observe today, is no accident, but is the plan of God. The gospel writer goes out of his way to say that even to the detail of dividing up the clothes, even to the detail of the soldiers standing by, what happened was what God intended to happen. I don't know about you, but I sometimes struggle with this idea of fulfillment of prophecy and free will. And that's probably a conversation for another day. I don't believe that any of us are mere puppets in a grand plan of God. But somehow the one who sees the end from the beginning draws all into his salvation purposes. And so we see that what happened, the life given up, the cross borne, was God's intention for our salvation. Right back in the book of Genesis, in the Garden of Eden, we see almost the first foreshadowing of this as God makes provision for the naked Adam and Eve, as life is given so that they might be clothed. In just a very small way, we see a foretaste of the life given so that we might be clothed in righteousness. That plan of salvation history that has stood throughout the ages. This happened so that Scripture may be fulfilled. The third thing that I'd love to draw our attention to is provision. Jesus makes provision. We read in verse 26, when Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his house. When reading this, I was reminded of the verses from a few chapters earlier when Jesus is speaking of the promise of the Holy Spirit, and he says to his followers, he says, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." Even at the point of excruciating pain, the point just before giving up his life, Jesus looks upon his mother and looks upon the disciple that he loves, and he calls them together, saying, "Here is your mother, here is your son." Jesus calls his followers into community, even from the place of the cross. And in the same way as we've just heard, Jesus promises not to leave us, not to abandon us. Jesus promises not to leave us as orphans. His Spirit with us calls us into community. We're not in an individualistic pursuit, but the very death and resurrection and ascension of Christ that allowed the pouring out of his Spirit calls us into community. Christ makes provision for us not to be alone. And finally, within the community that this gospel account is written primarily for, I believe, there was already conversation about whether what happened on Good Friday really did happen as people thought it might have done. Perhaps Jesus didn't really die. Perhaps there was some sort of mistake. Perhaps he was just unconscious. Perhaps he was pretending. And into all of those conversations, our reading this morning provides proof. It says this: "The man who saw it has given testimony, and his testimony is true. He knows that he tells the truth, and he testifies so that you also may believe." Standing at the foot of the cross, he witnessed blood and water flow down, an evidence that Christ had truly given up his life. Not taken from him, but given up. It is finished. So as we go into the rest of today and into the scarcity and emptiness of tomorrow and into the celebration of Sunday, of Easter, we remember Christ, who even in death takes up the position among sinners and offers hope and offers salvation. We remember Christ, in whose life and death prophecy is fulfilled. God's salvation plan worked out not by accident, but down to every detail. by grace and by obedience. We remember that Christ not just makes the provision of eternal life through belief in him, through repentance from sin, but Christ makes the provision of community. And we remember that these are not just ideas, not just thoughts that a community constructed, but these are historical events. This is history. This is our history. So let's pray. Lord, as we sit at the foot of the cross, help us to see afresh who you are, what you've done, and who you're calling us to be. Amen.